First case for argument, United States v. Hensel. Mr. Crawford.
May it please the court, your honors. My name is Jack Crawford. I'm an attorney from Indianapolis, Indiana. I was appointed pursuant to the Criminal Justice Act to represent Samuel T. Hensel. I represented Mr. Hensel at sentencing only and then on appeal. Two other CJA lawyers previously had represented him. We raise one issue on appeal, your honors, and that is the reasonableness of the sentence of 135 months handed down by the district court judge pursuant to the factors contained in 18 U.S.C. section 3553A. And we contend, your honors, that the sentence is unreasonable pursuant to those factors.
Boy, it sure sounds reasonable to me. Rapes a 12-year-old?
Judge, the nature of these crimes, trafficking in interstate commerce for the purpose of engaging in illicit sexual conduct with the minor, in itself is reprehensible. It's the problem we always have with crimes that are reprehensible, disgusting on their face.
And I don't see what the problem is.
Judge, for example, the court found that Mr. Hensel was dangerous to society and
raped a child. What's an appropriate sentence for someone like that?
Judge, I think a within guidelines sentence would be appropriate, perhaps the high end of the guidelines.
I don't agree with you. I think the judge was perfectly justified in his sentence.
The court identified as aggravating factors that the victim was coerced, tricked to engage in the acts that she protested many times. He persisted. He gave her alcohol. He gave her marijuana, and that he was substantially older and unconcerned about, the pain that he inflicted on her. And those issues, well, let me ask you, how were those issues already accounted for in the sentence?
Judge Rovner, I concede that the employment of alcohol and marijuana on the child victim would be a circumstance of this offense that would be different from, if you will, a normal offense under this statute. But all of the other acts that this person did are contained within the statute by definition.
Mr. Crawford, may I inquire as to the timing of this? As I understand it, you represented him at the sentencing, and then he filed a notice of appeal, and then you were appointed?
No, Judge. I maintain my appointment pursuant to being his counsel for sentencing. I carried over to file the appeal.
You're a volunteer?
Yes, Judge. Yes.
Carry on.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I won't save you from yourself.
Thank you, Judge.
I'm going to save you from yourself.
Judge Bauer.
I want to save you from yourself.
Well, Judge Rover, in response to your question, I asked the court to look at United States versus Miller, cited in the appellant's brief, which is a case strikingly similar to this case, in which the Seventh Circuit reversed a sentence of 120 months against a lady, in this case, who had engaged in sexual conduct with a 14-year-old. She was a sophisticated person, a person with a master's in engineering. She had evidence of prior activities concerning other young children. The court found in Miller that she had caused severe effect on the victim. Yet the court found the sentence of 120 months to be unreasonable. I would say that the culpability of Ms. Miller in the United States versus Miller case is at least equal, if not greater, than the culpability of Mr. Hensel.
Maybe her sentence was too light.
In Ms. Miller's case, Judge?
Yeah.
Well, Your Honor, the court felt that it was too
severe.
It was too severe, and reversed accordingly. Well, that's there's always that possibility. Judge Easterbrook and
maybe
Judge Kane
Posner
were on
wasn't
panel.
On the maybe Judge Posner wasn't on the panel. What?
Well, Judge Easterbrook and Judge Kaney were, and they're certainly good, respected judges, and they found that to be an unreasonable sentence. And the facts and circumstances seem remarkably similar to this case.
I find your position totally unacceptable. This is a disgusting crime.
I agree, Judge.
What do you think is an appropriate sentence for such a person?
Perhaps a two-level increase over
what
the...
What is an appropriate sentence?
100 months. An expansion on the 87 limit of the guideline sentence, 100 months, I think would be appropriate.
You know, in the brief, you argued that the district court's reasons for the variance are general characteristics of all the, you know, all offenders convicted under 2423B. But I don't think that statute addresses any of the factors the court considered, did it? Does it?
Well, Judge, the characteristics of the defendant, history and characteristics of this defendant, are not dissimilar to many persons found guilty or convicted of this crime. He was a 29-year-old young man, immature, sexually immature, emotionally immature, lived with his parents, unemployable, had an addiction to marijuana, selfish, the court found him to be selfish, self-gratifying. All those factors are the nature of this crime. And I assume the Sentencing Commission, when it made its findings that this should be a level 24 offense, did take all of these factors into account.
But the judge isn't bound by the guidelines anymore.
It's only advisory, correct, Judge Posner? It is only advisory. But as the court well knows, in order to have an extensive variance from the guidelines, the district judge must find compelling reasons. Compelling reasons.
No, I don't think so. Where do you get compelling reasons from?
Judge, that's in Gall versus United States. Justification for extensive variance must be compelling. A major departure should be supported by a more significant justification than a minor one. This is a 55% departure. This is a major departure from the guidelines. And I think the guidelines have to be given some credit that they evidence a study of the kinds of penalties that are appropriate for these kinds of offenses. Judge Posner,
why is it major? You say 100 months?
100 months, I think, would be fair, Judge. I'm sorry, Judge?
Is 135?
135 is the sentence he has now.
You say it should be 100.
Yes.
Is that the maximum under the guidelines?
No, the maximum is 87. I think some, because of the use of the alcohol and the marijuana, which is distinctive about this case, to trick her into getting involved in this, I think that's different. Because of that, I think some upward variance is appropriate. But four levels, 48 months, is an extreme upward variance. So I would ask the court to find the sentence to be unreasonable under the 3553 factors, remand to the district court for a more reasonable sentence.
Okay, well, thank you, thank Mr. Crawford. Mr. Cook?
May it please the court, Mr. Crawford. My name is Brant Cook, and I represent the United States of America in this matter, as I did in the district court below. The 135-month sentence in this matter was the result of the district court's reasoned determinations of the aggravated nature and circumstances of Mr. Hensel's offense that were not accounted for in the United States sentencing guidelines applied by the district court. During the course of a lengthy sentencing hearing, the district court heard approximately 40 minutes of testimony concerning the particular specific details of the defendant's offense from the victim of that offense, who was then 12 years old at the time of the offense. Additional testimony was heard concerning the defendant's statements to the principal investigator. Now, in explaining its reasoning for this sentence, the district court referred back to several parts of this testimony as a basis for why a four-level variance was appropriate. During her testimony, Jane Doe had noted that she told the defendant 10 times that she did not want to engage in sex acts with him. 10 times. In fact, the district court confirmed that point in a series of its own questions on that matter at the supplemental appendix, page 66, that can be noted. During her testimony, Jane Doe also noted that the defendant provided her alcohol and marijuana that he blew into her mouth. The district court pointed to these facts, which were particular to this offense, and explained its reasoning for why an upward variance was necessary in order for the district court to put forth a reasonable sentence that addressed what this defendant did. Now, these facts, the pressured sexual acts, the coerced sexual acts, the alcohol and drugs that were provided to a 12-year-old minor, are significant because they were not accounted for at all in the United States sentencing guidelines ultimately applied in this matter. Now, as I know this court is aware, the United States sentencing guidelines in a case like this can recognize more extreme conduct where there's actual force or threats. However, those guidelines don't address where a minor has exhibited on several occasions, again, saying at least 10 times, that she does not wish to engage in sex acts.
You know,
whimpering.
Forgive me for interrupting. But the government argued for application of the Section 2A3.1 cross-reference based on the conduct that's described in Section 2241.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Why didn't the government argue that the cross-reference to Section 2AG.1 was based on conduct that's described in Section 2242 rather than 2241? Because Section 2242 includes conduct, and I'm going to quote now, causing another person to engage in a sexual act by threatening or placing the other person in fear, but does not require force against the person, or that the threat placed the victim in fear of death, serious bodily injury, or kidnapping.
Going into this hearing, Your Honor, it was the government's opinion that what Jane Doe would testify to would satisfy the force requirement under 2241 and allow for that cross-reference. That the government, myself, then failed to point to 2242 when that did not go well in front of the district court was perhaps a mistake. But looking at what the court ultimately did in this case, even where that cross-reference wasn't made, there had to be a variance made to make up for the fact that this minor was at least coerced, mm-hmm. if not forced, at least coerced and given alcohol and drugs. And the court based that on testimony, referred back to that testimony, and made a reasoned determination. And that's what this court has asked district courts to do in determining a sentence, and that's exactly what the district court did here. Opposing counsel noted United States versus Miller. I would just note for this court that in that sentence being overturned in that matter, the holding in that case had more to do with the fact that the district court in that matter based its sentence on things that were outside of the record, based on his theory that sex offenders were not subject to treatment and were hard to deter. In this matter, the district court in Mr. Hensel's case made reasoned determination on facts that were in the record, and that's really all that can be asked of the district court. Ultimately, as required, the district court crafted a reasonable sentence that addressed the factors at 18 U.S.C. 3553A. The government requests that the judgment of the district court be affirmed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cook. Mr. Crawford, do you have anything further?
Your Honors, unless the judges have specific questions they would like answered, I would waive my rebuttal.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Crawford. You were appointed. Were you